Yeah. So one of the, you know, the hopes was that we would have people here that aren't here as often. And I see most of you guys are here most often. And, you know, but this is a message that I prepared thinking about why we would claim above everything else that Jesus is the only hope for people's lives. And really, I would say the only hope for the world in which we live. You know, God, when he created people, he created them with a desire that they would be his people, that they would be his children, his family. It wasn't just like, you know, a nation or something like that. He wants intimacy. He wants closeness with people. And he wants his people to be like him. He wants his people to think like him and to love like him, behave like him. And you can see in the world, that's not the way it tends to go for most people. Most people are not listening to God or taking God into their heart or following God. And it's amazing, though, that God, and this is not like new. In other words, the idea that most people are not walking with God or calling on God throughout the biblical history that we have, we see a lot of people that, you know, we're not paying attention, we're not listening, we're not following. And God sent his son in the last days. He sent Jesus Christ out of his love so that we would have hope, so that we would have the possibility of fulfilling all of God's purposes. And I was trying to think of a text that might help us to think about that. And John 1 is one that I always lean on. And I think it's one of the most awesome teachings about Jesus and who Jesus is and why Jesus is the only hope, why Jesus is unique in all history. It starts off, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. The idea that God, you know, through history, he spoke to people in very different ways. He spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, and he gave them a command. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush, and you know, Moses heard him. And all the prophets, many prophets saw visions, and they received words, and they were given, you know, a display of God's truth and love. And then they were supposed to tell the people, and so many people heard through prophets about God. But in the last day, God sent his only son. God sent Jesus, and this title, Logos, the Word, okay, the word, the Greek word for word is Logos. And for generations in the early church, they couldn't figure out how to describe Jesus, so they used the word Logos. And they said, you know, Jesus is the Logos. And in that, you have these words, you know, he is with God and he was God. And it took them 400 years to figure out, to put it down concretely, to say, listen, he is not, you know, partly God and partly man. He is totally God, totally man. And this mystery is what Scripture teaches us. But there is nobody in all the history of humanity or of creation that is like Jesus. There is nobody that is like Jesus. Nobody has his power. Nobody has his ability. And it tells us here, and it tells us elsewhere as well, that Jesus was with God from eternity to eternity. There's no separation. There's this thing called a hypostatic union or hypostasis. And the idea was, even as Jesus walked on the earth, there was a relationship between him and the Father. And we know in the Gospels, a couple of times, the Father speaks to Jesus in front of everybody. At the baptism, the heavens open up and he speaks. And so, you know, people actually know that, you know, Jesus belongs with God and that they were together from eternity to eternity until the cross, where Jesus cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, and it really, it's like, why have you left me alone? Why have you deserted me? And that's what, you know, when he felt the weight of the wrath for sin. But he was there, and basically, God sent Jesus as his revelation of himself to us. What does God want? God wants children. God wants a family. God wants people who take on his image. And the perfect image of God in human form is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came. Now, God created Adam, and he told Adam, Adam, you're supposed to be my image bearer. And you're supposed to be image-bearing children. In Israel, they were supposed to bear God's image to the world. And all these folks, they failed. And then God sends his son, who is the absolute perfect image of God. And he never failed at anything he did, right? He was there from the beginning. Nobody in all history is like Jesus. Colossians kind of says the same things. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Just that unique person. Why do we say Jesus is unique? Jesus is the only one. People will say, well, what about, you know, and they'll name off, like, you probably don't know who Siddhartha Gautama is, do you? They call him Buddha, right? Lao Tzu, they call him Confucius. But these are men. They weren't gods, there's no one like Jesus. Jesus, who is God, and the image of God, to show the people of God the way to be what God wanted us to be from the beginning, right? So this is the unique person of Christ. Now it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. This is the sad state of the world. The world is filled with darkness. The world is filled, and darkness in the Bible is often described as blind, sometimes as dead, sometimes as lost, right? Darkness means I don't see God. I don't know God. I don't believe in God. A lot of people think that way these days, right? But darkness is separation. The actual, you know, hell is described as a place of darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the ultimate separation from God. And so many people in our world live in darkness. They live separated from God. They live without thinking about God or knowing what God wants them to do or knowing the love and power of God in their lives, right? Jesus came as light to rescue people out of darkness. He came as light. He came as life to raise people from the dead. We just went through the book of Romans and we talked about our identity with Christ. When Christ died, we died. But when Christ rose, those who believe in him rise to a new life. Christ came to give us that new life. He came to make us that new creation. He came to restore that image of God that's broken. He came to bring light where there's darkness. And every one of us that knows Jesus Christ, everyone that calls on his name, everyone that worships him understands that that light is so much different than darkness. Those two things don't go well together, do they? Light and darkness. They can't cohabitate. If you light just the smallest lamp out on a dark ocean, you'll see it for miles until the curve of the earth takes it away, right? But light and darkness don't marry. But when Jesus comes into our heart, when Jesus comes into our life, when Jesus speaks to us, right, that light opens up and we all of a sudden recognize God. We all of a sudden understand the beauty of his word. We can't help but look at creation and praise God and thank God for all the things that he's done. And when we understand what he gave us in Jesus Christ, when we understand the love that he showed us by sending Jesus, the Logos, to save us through the cross, the resurrection, right? That great power of God's love, that's the light and life that Jesus brought to the world. But the darkness doesn't comprehend it. Our goal is to, you know, bear witness to that. And that's the next thing that John says. He says, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. It's interesting that when God, you know, tries to reach people, what does he use? Other people, right? John came, and John was, and by the way, you know, all these other so-called religious figures and leaders, none of them had a prophet come before them and point them out. John the Baptist came, and he pointed out Jesus, and he said to the crowd, he said, there, behold, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He pointed him out. Nobody else ever had any. Most times what happens with these guys is, you know, either they said they were great, they called themselves something, or after they died, somebody else called them something and made something of them that they weren't. Jesus Christ is, from the beginning, God's man. From the beginning, God of God. From the beginning, he was the hope of all the world that we would know his power, his grace, and his love, and be able to be what he wanted us to be. John bore witness to that, right? And that's what we do. We bear witness to who Jesus is. I was thinking about, you know, this church. See, from that beam back, the church is from 1902, right? But the church was planted in a house in 1885. And you know what this church has been about? For all those years, 135 years, right? It's been about testifying to the Lamb of God. It's been about telling people, look, there is the light of God. There is the life that God offers us through Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from any place else. Nobody else is like Jesus. Nobody else is the pure communication of God. Nobody else is the perfect image of God for us. Nobody else possesses the and the authority that Jesus possesses, right? It says, there was the true light that was coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. So many times, I used to think, you know, when I was in Bible college and seminary, and I was a fresh young preacher, I said, when I get out there, just watch what's going to happen. We're going to preach the gospel, and lives are going to be changed. Hearts are going to be turned. And through the years that we've been here, we've literally talked to thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, maybe over 30 years. And we used to have, we'd have 800 different people come through at a food program during a year and share the gospel. And I would have always thought, oh yeah, if you share with that many people, they're going to receive Jesus Christ. Their hearts are going to be transformed. Their lives are going to be moved towards God. And here it says that he was in the world, even though he stood as the creator of the world, stood as the Lamb of God, the perfect image of God, stood as the Savior before people, proclaiming, you know, every word that he spoke was the word of God. You think of that? Every word that he spoke was the word of God. And that message, it says, they didn't know him and they didn't receive him. And that is a sad truth. So many people don't know who God is, don't know who Jesus is, don't know how to take Jesus into their heart and into their life. You know, Paul talks about that. He says, we are the smell of Jesus Christ, the fragrance, like a perfume in the air. We're the smell of Jesus Christ. He says, to some people, we're the smell of life unto life. And to others, we're the smell of death unto death. So many people that don't receive Jesus, that don't believe in Jesus, don't call on his name, right? They don't see that fragrance of life. Jesus is life. Jesus is light. Jesus came so that we could be what God intended us to be from the beginning. Jesus is the only way that we can become what God wants us to be. It's when we call on his name, we learn who he is, and we begin to call on his name, we begin to cry out to Jesus, Jesus, be my help, be my strength, be my Savior. When we begin to realize the depth of that gift on the cross, that we bow before the cross of Christ and we say, Lord Jesus, let that blood be sprinkled on me. Let me be purified from my sins so that I can worship you. When we confess Jesus Christ with our mouth and believe in our heart, God rose him from the dead, and that God puts in us righteousness, not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that we can actually live a life walking and living before God. That's what the message of Christ is. That's what the person of Christ is. And so many can't take it in. And I pray for everyone that you will be able to take it in. And it's interesting, you know, it doesn't matter like how clever we can be with a sermon or how well we worship or anything. The only thing that can make a heart receive Jesus Christ is if God opens that heart to believe. If God opens that heart to believe, then you can receive Jesus Christ. You can take him in. It's so, you know, important that if you have that faith, that you keep that faith nurtured and alive, right? Faith is the only way that we get saved. That's why we testify. We testify so you might believe. That's why we proclaim the word of God, so you might believe. That's why we talk about Jesus as he is. We're not ashamed in the name of Jesus. We're not ashamed to say he is totally God and totally man. We're not ashamed to say that our Savior died on a cross and rose again. We're not ashamed to say that Jesus Christ is my only hope for salvation, to be able to live and be what God intended me to be. And if I don't lean on him every day, if I don't call on him every day, if I'm not seeking him all my life, I'll never make it. Because he is my help, he is my strength, he is my salvation. But as many as received him, and this is the power of the gospel, to take Jesus in. To say, yes, Lord, I confess Jesus is Lord. I confess that he died. I confess that you rose him from the dead. I confess Jesus. I receive Jesus. He gave them the right. And the word exousia in the Greek, authority. He gave them the authority. Think about that, the authority. You could say the power to become children of God. What has God wanted from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden? He wanted children of God. He made man in the image of God, and he told them to bear children that would be in the image of God. They would be the children of God. He rose up Israel to be the children of God. Nobody ever really succeeded in that. But when Jesus Christ came to give us the power, to give us the authority, to give us the ability to become children of God. There's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other teaching. There's no other teacher. There's no other God. There's no other prophet. There's no other way for us to have the authority to receive the power to be God's children, except for in the name of Jesus Christ. Even to those who believe in his name. We sang that song, you know, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Right, what a wonderful name Jesus is. Right, there's something about that name. I have sounded that name off in many places at many times, walking down a dark alley by myself at night. You know, Jesus, Jesus. There's power. There's power in the name of Jesus. One of the most powerful events that you know I attended. There's the million men that went to Washington D.C. for Promise Keepers. It was kind of not much, but one thing they did was they said, okay, guys, all of you together, say the name Jesus. Let's do that. Everybody say the name Jesus. I want to hear that better. Say the name Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. There's power in it. There's ability in it. There's strength in it. It's not from us, but it's from God. God sent Jesus to give us the ability, the authority to become children of God. Not born by the will of a man, by flesh and blood, but by the will of God. Every person that believes in Jesus and is being recreated in the image of God, and that doesn't mean we're perfect. It means we're struggling and fighting and trying to shine his light in this darkened world, but we're trying to receive Christ every day, every hour, to be his, to be what God intended us to be from the beginning. right? Every person that has that in their heart and their life received it from God. It didn't come from a preacher. It didn't come from any other power other than God himself calling out your name from eternity. God knows his children from forever. He knows us. And he called us. Everyone who believes, everyone who confesses Christ, everyone who received that authority to become God's children, received it from God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we come to the table today and we celebrate the death of our Lord and Savior, we want to remember that it was God's will, it was God's purpose that we become children of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's prepare for communion. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And it was the night before they crucified him. I would say that if you're with us today and you haven't been in church or you haven't prayed or you haven't sought God recently, that you'd be real serious, understanding that we commemorate and remember our Savior dying on the cross when we eat these elements. We remember our own lostness, our own darkness that Jesus brought light to and life to. We ask that you would believe in your heart and confess Jesus Christ as your much needed Savior. That as we take these elements, we're asking Jesus to be our Lord. We're asking Jesus to give us power to become children of God. And after Jesus broke bread, he said, "Take and eat, this is my body." And in the same way, he took a cup. And he told the disciples that the cup was a covenant in his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And we all know we're weak, we're human, we fail, but we don't stay in failure. By the blood and power of Jesus Christ, we grow, we do better, we serve God as much as possible in righteousness. But we need forgiveness. We need mercy. We need the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. So, Lord, I pray for us that you will bless every heart that will turn to you in this hour. Bless everyone that will call upon you in the heart of hearts and say, "Lord, be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my misdeeds, my misthoughts, my miswords, Lord, the things that I've said or done that are not pleasing to you. And help me be more and more your child, your person, God, by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ." And then Jesus said, "Take and drink, all of you." Paul tells us, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.
As I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. As I am and waiting now,
Lord, we pray for our here right today. We pray that you would bless our time together, that everyone would get there safely, enjoy each other's company. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Amen.